Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
There's also a thing called porn-induced erectile dysfunction, or PIED. This is actually in Time magazine.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So with the availability of porn, and I remember in my young days, you know, it was like you had maybe two magazines underneath the mattress, right. You know, and you hope your mom didn't find them. Now I realize she obviously knew I had them there because right. She changed my sheets all the time.
Right.
But you had those two magazines and that's all you did. You know, that's all you had because porn wasn't that readily available. We didn't have the internet. You know, you didn't have like a VHS collection or anything. But now, I mean, people can watch porn on their cell phones, on their iPads, on their laptops. It's everywhere. Right. So what happens is that it's kind of like you reset your thermostat, your threshold for excitation. So if you watch porn all the time and you choose the genres where they have the two blonde girls with the huge breasts and they're just, you know, in love with this guy and this is what you get off on, mm-hmm. okay? And then you go to your partner, and your partner is not a porn star, obviously. Most people's partners aren't.
Right.
And they have the traditional kind of sex, maybe just missionary or little doggy. And it just doesn't do it for them anymore because your threshold is up here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because you're watching the porn, but you're in reality, your threshold is different. And you're not meeting that threshold with your average, everyday kind of sexual habits.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by certified urologist Dr. Edward Cartman, and we're taking your calls for all your penile needs. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include what to do when erectile dysfunction, or ED, is haunting you in the bedroom. What is Peyronie's disease, and how does a curved penis affect your sex life? You just can't seem to have casual sex without catching those gosh darn feelings. What to do? And you're on the brink of cheating with the hot neighbor, and you need help. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com and find us on all social media. It is at Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. For the new year, for each show, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. So what I mean by this is, okay, you're listening, and I want you to think about, well, what do I want to get out of listening to this episode and how it could help you? It could be like, my penis, I have insecurities and I just really want to get over them. My intention for the show is to help you feel better about your penis and to give you some added advice from an expert. And I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. And I think we also cover a lot of common questions that you just might be too nervous to talk about. You know, whether it's your own penis or a penis that you love. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Welcome back to Sex with Emily. I am Dr. Emily. We are live tonight, and you can call me with any of your, get this for the next 20 minutes, your penis questions. I'm so excited to welcome Dr. Edward Karpman to the show. I did an awesome podcast with him, and we're going to put in the show notes right now. It's called Power to the Penis. It was wildly successful. He's a board-certified urologist. And he's actually one of the few urologists who's also fellowship trained in male reproductive medicine and surgery. He's the director of the Men's Health Center at El Camino Hospital in Los Gatos. And you guys, he is all things penis, I'm telling you. And we loved your show, and I'm so glad you're back. Hello, Dr. Karpman. Thanks for calling in.
Good evening, Emily. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. What are some of the common things that people call you about, the most common? Because we already have some calls on the line, but I just want people to understand that you, there's no penis question you're afraid of. You've heard it all.
I'm not afraid of anything, but there, even to this day, I learn things that people do to their penises, to their bodies that I could never expect, that I've never seen in a textbook. And sometimes we have to learn things on the fly in our daily practices. But yeah, just about anything is that's imaginable, I've probably seen.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Dr. Edward Karpman, and they can find you at healthymail.com.
Healthy-mail.com.
Awesome. Okay, let's just, we could take some calls here. We have Mike 45 in New York. And hey, Mike, what's your question? You're on with Dr. Edward Karpman.
Yeah, I've been married with my wife for about 20 years. I do have diabetes. The hypertension from my diabetes has progressed to give me ED. I have been taking the Viagra, but it doesn't seem to be working. Maybe one out of 10 times it might work.
Because are you on medicine? Are you on medicine for diabetes?
Oh yeah, I'm on insulin.
Okay, so that could be why. What do you think, Dr. Karpman? Do you have any questions?
Well, I always like when patients come in and tell me their Viagra doesn't work, the first question I want to know is, how are you taking it? So Viagra and most of these drugs, these what we call PDE5 inhibitors, should be taken on an empty stomach and with a period of time before stimulation. So Viagra would be about half an hour, and you need to be stimulated. Yeah, because guys come in sometimes and they say, I took the pill, I was drinking a beer, watching ESPN, and nothing happened. And I said, well, nothing's going to happen. So you need stimulation. So you're doing that, right?
Yeah, I'm playing it right by the book and everything. And
okay.
It's just not happening like you used to.
And you've gone up on the dose all the way to 100 milligrams?
No, I'm still about 20 milligrams.
Oh,
Yeah, that's a lick the bottle cap kind of dose.
So, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So one of the first things what I tell my patients when I put them on Viagra, one is how to take the medicine appropriately, but also now Viagra is available in a generic form, and it comes in these 20 milligram tablets. And I tell patients they could essentially titrate up the dose all the way up to 5 pills, assuming there's no contraindications for taking the medicine. And I tell them to keep going up by 1 pill or 2 pills, or sometimes I tell them start at all 5 pills and then back off. So if you're concerned that the medicine's going to work for you, then you know right off the bat that it's going to work or it's not going to work. And then you could kind of titrate it down to 2 or 3 pills, whichever dose is just right to have satisfactory sexual intercourse. Now, that's kind of the basic instructions, but you have 2 of the 3 most common causes of erectile dysfunction. So if you look at a pie graph of the common cause of erectile dysfunction, you'll see things like cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes make up the top 3, and that accounts for about 85% of cases of erectile dysfunction. And that's what we call our garden variety ED. So, And it's kind of like Emily said, you got to make sure that you have your diabetes under control. What is your hemoglobin A1C?
My A1C last time was a 7.
Okay, well, that's not bad, but there's some room for improvement there. And you want to try to keep those blood sugars tightly controlled. So normal hemoglobin A1C should be around less than 6%. And for diabetics, if they're really bad, the best we could get them to is about 7. We'll take it. But if you can get it a little lower, down to around 6, that'd be better. And it does make a difference incrementally. And likewise, blood pressure medications. Now, are you taking blood pressure medications?
Yes. There's a couple different ones I'm taking. So like clonidine, Cinepril.
So these medications, right, Dr. Cartman, these are going to have an impact as well.
Yeah, so yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the
My
thing.
My doctor said that as well, because they're kind of working against each other.
Yeah.
And,
right, but they are necessary, and I'm going to say to you right now, loud and clear, do not stop taking those medicines, okay? So all blood pressure medications have that, or most of them do, have an adverse effect where they lower your blood pressure, and guess what an erection is? It's just blood flow to your penis.
Yeah.
And when you have those arteries that get smaller, you rely on that higher blood pressure to get your penis up. And so when we treat your blood pressure with these medications, we lower the blood pressure and we just don't get as much blood flow into your penis. So one of the things that would be good for you to do would be to maybe go to a urologist who does a penile ultrasound, who knows how to do penile ultrasounds. And those are really cool studies that we do in our office where we could actually tell what kind of blood flow characteristics you have. So you come in there, you lay down on their table, they'll run a probe on your penis and get some baseline numbers, and then we give you a little shot of medicine in your penis. It's that same medicine that the adult film stars use to perform. So
Like lidocaine?
No, these are vasodilators.
Oh, right. What am I talking about? Okay, got it. Well, I took the last
one. You're thinking about going for a duration.
I think it lasted longer. Yeah, okay, got it.
They do use those also.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And these medicines will actually dilate those arteries. They'll open up wide. And if everything's normal with your arteries, that you'll have a very good response and you have this strong erection with a minimal dose that'll last about an hour or two. And if everything's normal, and then we can tell that everything is normal, and then we could focus on the medications. But sometimes when the guys have really bad arteries, you could give them some very hefty doses of this medicine, and they still just can't get enough blood flow into their penis. And that would tell us that the medicines probably aren't going to work. The other thing that this ultrasound will tell us is that if you have what's called a venous leak. So I'm going to ask you this question, Mike. Is your problem getting it up, or is your problem keeping it up, or both?
Kind of both.
Both. So
sometimes I'm like super like in the mood, but it's just there. It's not doing anything. It's like, and it's so frustrating. It's frustrating and embarrassing for me. It's disappointing to her. You know, I try to like, you know, play with her and keep her all stimulated, but it's just not happening. And you know, it's just like a major letdown.
Yeah. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Yeah, that does not sound like a good. What do you think, Dr. Cartman? What do you think your recommendation is here? And then we're going to take another call.
Yeah, I think that the easy thing to do is try escalating the dose on the Viagra, taking it appropriately. But if that doesn't work, I would recommend going and finding a urologist in your area who can do a penile ultrasound and to better evaluate your blood flow in your penis. So you might have an impairment of getting the blood in. You also might have what's called a venous leak. And that's what's typically what men describe the ability to get it up, but they can't keep it up. It might be a problem with your veins also. And that's something very important to look at. And that's something the penile ultrasound will help us identify. So I would do that.
Okay.
Fascinating. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mike, for calling. Let us know how this goes. Thank you, Dr. Cartman. Why don't you stay on hold? Stay on hold, everyone. If you're calling, stay on hold. And then we're going to come right back. Dr. Edward Cartman, he's going to be able to help you with what ails your penis, whatever ails you. Last too long, not long enough, trouble staying hard, getting hard, the venous leak, penile ultrasounds, penile implants. There's a lot to cover here. I feel like we could hit on crooked penises. A lot of men's penises start to, they're crooked, either they're born that way, right? Dr. Cartman, or they start to, Peyronie's happens?
Yeah, Peyronie's disease. And you know what? The cool thing is that we're seeing commercials about Peyronie's disease now.
I know. What's that about? Anyway, talk about Peyronie. Yeah.
Yeah. So Peyronie's is an acquired disease that it's a scar that forms on a man's penis. Most common locations is on the top. Like, so if you're looking down, it's the top of the penis. And the most common curve is upwards. Okay. And the curves could be mild, like 10, 20, even up to 30 degrees. And we call those functional curves, meaning that they're just enough. Sometimes they actually work in their favor. They
right.
Hit that right
in
spot.
Our favor, they hit the G spot.
Exactly. And, but sometimes they're a little too excessive. Like if you have like say a 90 degree curve, say imagine a penis that's bent, like literally a 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
And so it'll make it kind of hard to have sex in that way. Or if you have say a curve that's to the right or to the left, even if it's mild, like 30 or 45 degrees. But then when you're having sex, you keep hitting your partner's ovary
yeah.
you know, every time you thrust. It's also associated with shrinkage of the penis and narrowing of the penis. In the early stages, guys have pain in their penis every time they get an erection.
Right.
And it's a bothersome disease. It's obviously not life-threatening, but guys, when they have anything that pops up on their penis, any hard lump,
yeah.
they think, oh my God, the worst, and they're coming in, I'm going to tell them I'm going to have to cut it off. So the first thing we always do is just reassure them that this is a benign process, but the deformity can be very troubling for the patient, mm-hmm. and we have to talk about, you know, how do we fix it? And so the cool thing is that we now have our first FDA-approved drug on the market to treat Peyronie's disease, which is like an injection.
Okay.
And so the guys come in and we give them a shot right into this little scarred area and they get several shots like weeks apart and the shot actually will dissolve the scar tissue
wow.
over time. And they could restore their angle of their penis, the straightness of it. And the good thing about it, what I really like about this medication is that the public service announcements that come with it and the appreciation of the disease state, because now these drug companies want people to know about it. And Peyronie's disease is not something that people ever talk about. Like, who knows about Peyronie's disease unless they have it, you know?
Exactly.
Unless they've been to a doctor. And a lot of guys have it. They just don't know what it is because they're too scared to go to the doctor.
Exactly, because men don't talk about their penises to anybody. Even if they're at the doctor to talk about their penis, or even if they're at the doctor and the doctor asks them, they don't talk about it. But you don't let them get away with that, right, Dr. Cartman?
Well, I hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah. You do. You're like, I know there's something with your penis. Okay, we're going to talk to Mark 31 in New York. Hey, Mark, you're on with me, and you're on with Dr. Edward Cartman, urologist.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Edward. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for calling. How can we help?
Emily, I just want to say congrats on 1 year.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks. It's been a great year.
I follow you on all platforms and enjoy your stuff.
Thank you. So glad to hear it.
You're welcome.
So what's going on?
I want to know, how can I make my penis more sensitive? I heard coconut oil will soften the skin.
Okay, so more sensitive how? Like, do you feel like you're lacking in sensation?
Yeah, elaborate on that. What does it mean to be more sensitive? I'm a little confused, though.
The only way I can get it up is, in the morning when I wake up sometimes, and porn.
Porn. Okay. So in the morning when you wake up, and then porn is the only way you can get it up. So do you think you're watching a lot of porn?
I haven't lately.
Well, how much porn are you watching?
I guess a lot is bad, right?
Well, I mean, you tell me. If you think you have less sensitivity?
I have my good days and bad days.
Okay.
I watch it a lot sometimes, and sometimes I don't.
All right. So, what about the sensitivity then? You're saying that it's harder to get. Do you understand this, Dr. Cartman?
Well, let me ask you this question: is it you feel it less when you're masturbating, or you're just not getting excited as often enough to do it?
I'm not getting excited enough normally.
Okay.
Like how like a normal person should.
Okay.
Like the only way I can masturbate is with porn, pretty much.
So do you have sexual intercourse with anybody?
I haven't a while now.
Okay.
Well, I want to gain my confidence back for when that time comes.
Yeah, okay. I think it has to do with cutting back on the porn and starting to get to know your body again without watching so much porn. That's what I think it is, really, because now it's changed. You're 31 years old, so over time now, and really this is what we're seeing with so many men right now. Thanks for your call, Mark. We're seeing this with so many men right now that, like, have you seen this, Dr. Cartman? Men who can no longer stay hard when they're actually having intercourse with a human, or they can't get aroused as much because of porn. I'm sure you're seeing it. I would assume more so probably in the last 10 years.
You're absolutely right. So with the availability of porn on the internet now, so many more people are watching it. And I heard this crazy statistic that half of the websites are porn related, and the other half of the websites are on the internet are the ones we switch to when someone walks in the room.
I believe that. Oh my God.
There's also a thing called porn-induced erectile dysfunction, or PIED. This is actually in Time Magazine.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So with the availability of porn, and I remember in my young days, you know, it was like you had maybe two magazines underneath the mattress, you know, and you hope your mom didn't find them. Now I realize she obviously knew I had them there because she changed my sheets all the time.
Right.
But you had those two magazines and that's all you did. You know, that's all you had because porn wasn't that readily available. We didn't have the internet. And, you know, you didn't have like a VHS collection or anything, but now, people can watch porn on their cell phones, on their iPads, on their laptops. It's everywhere.
Right. Okay, so what happens with the
Well, so what happens is that it's kind of like you reset your thermostat, your threshold for excitation. So if you watch porn all the time, and you choose the genres where they have the two blonde girls with the huge breasts, and they're just in love with this guy, and this is what you get off on, okay? And they're doing it in every position imaginable, threesomes and everything. And then you go to your partner, and your partner is not a porn star, obviously. Most people's partners aren't.
Right.
And they have the traditional kind of sex, maybe just missionary or little doggy. And it just doesn't do it for them anymore because your threshold is up here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because you're watching the porn, but you're in reality your threshold is different, and you're not meeting that threshold with your average everyday kind of sexual habits. So porn kind of resets that, and it's kind of an epidemic, and we're seeing a lot of it. And like I said, they've been publishing papers on this. it's a distortion of reality. And, you know, it's kind of like looking at, you know, NBA players and just feeling so inferior because you're only 6 foot tall and all of them are 6 foot seven.
Yes,
and 7 foot tall.
Exactly.
And so if you just watch NBA players in basketball, everyone would think they're midgets.
Right.
And that's like what happens when we watch porn.
Right.
But these are professionals.
These are professionals. They're casted for their penises, they're for their ability, and they're not really orgasming, and it's all fiction. It's fiction. So, but yeah, you get addicted to seeing the same images over and over again. Thank you for that, Dr. Carmen. We're gonna talk to Rob, 52 in Arizona. Hey, Rob, thanks for calling. How can we help?
Yeah, thanks. I have been using cock rings of all sorts since I'm probably 14 years old, and now I don't even. I can get erect, but I have trouble staying erect. I've tried those pills, and they give me really bad headaches. I do have cardiovascular issues. I've had to have 4 stents put in. I'm not taking any statins because I couldn't do those. But one of the things, I'm wondering about 2 of the things. One, the thing you just talked about porn, I think that's probably part of it. But I don't understand why I can't keep it hard anymore.
Okay.
Because you said something,
Okay, thanks, Rob. Okay, hold on a minute. Let's, Dr. Cartman?
So the question is, why is Rob using a cock ring? So cock rings are designed for people who have venous leaks. And so what they do is they compress the veins that exit out the penis, that drain the blood out of the penis, because they're on the surface and the arteries are deep inside. So as soon as somebody tells me they wear a cock ring, that tells me that they probably have some component of a venous leak. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't trap the blood in there. Now, with your history, his history of cardiovascular disease and stents, I'm pretty sure there's also an inflow or arterial problem, meaning that he can't get enough blood flow in there. And so he probably needs to use things like Viagra or Cialis or Levitra. And he would be the kind of guy that I would recommend they get a penile ultrasound to better understand the cardiovascular or the blood flow dynamics in his penis. But I think there's 2 problems there, and they need to be addressed simultaneously. Now, and Rob's the kind of guy, cardiovascular disease, probably calcified arteries, and now he also has a venous leak. He's the kind of guy that would probably benefit from a penile implant because he has 2 problems. He has an inflow and an outflow problem. And that would be something that we could understand better if he got that penile ultrasound done.
Okay. How'd that sound, Rob?
Terrifying.
I know, but we can help your penis. I mean, I can't, but Dr. Cartman can. Penile implants, pretty amazing stuff. He showed me one and I was blown away by how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rob, okay, you got that?
Yeah,
go get a penile implant.
Yeah.
It's scary, but worth it. It's your penis.
It's a life changer.
I know, I'm pretty attached to it.
And
yeah.
let me tell you, Rob, that most people have the same kind of reaction that you do when you first bring up that subject. But if you talk to people who've had them put in, the most common responses that I get, like I saw 3 or 4 patients today that said the same thing to me, is, why doesn't every guy have one of these? Why don't I get one of these sooner? And it's after they get it and they start using it, it's more the disbelief that it's not more widespreadly known and used in our society than it is.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, thanks, Rob. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Because I want to keep talking to you, Dr. Carmen. We talked about this on the podcast you did, which, you guys, if you want more information about this, because I would love to get talk about penile implants, because we covered it a lot, but it's pretty amazing to me too that men, it's not what you think. I think men think, oh, it's going to make my penis larger, it's going to do all these things, but I think it's really amazing technology for a lot of what ails the penis.
And
do you want to explain
it? So actually, what one of the things I love to do is to show people this video on my website at healthy-mail.com. And I came up with this several years ago, and I think it's the most popular penile implant video on the internet now. And it's one of my patients inflating his penile implant after surgery.
Right. I saw that last time. I couldn't believe it. It's like a remote.
And when people see that, they realize how natural it looks, how amazing it looks, how everything is so discreet. And you really don't even have to tell your partners if you're dating what's going on until you want to.
Right.
In fact, I saw a guy today who told me I did his penile implant like a year ago, and he said he still hasn't told any of his girlfriends that he has it, and they don't know. So I would recommend anybody who's even thinking about it, start by just looking at that video to see what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because you'll realize that it's really not what you expect. Most people think when you tell them penile implant, they're really confusing it with the vacuum erection device. And they think that I'm recommending some external device that they're going to strap onto their penis, and they're going to walk around, and it's going to be like one of those Austin Powers moments, you know, not my pump, baby.
Right.
And so it's really not what they think. And so I love that video because it really just dispels a lot of misconceptions that people have about penile implants.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cartman, Dr. Edward Cartman. Everyone, check out that video. We can also put it in the show notes, which we will if you go to sexwithemily.com. We got a lot of calls online, but we got to let you go, Dr. Cartman. So everyone's going to have to call back. Will you call back in again or come visit us here in Los Angeles?
Absolutely, soon? Emily.
Okay. I love Absolutely. It. So helpful. We need you. Thank you for all the great work you're doing. And all your information is in the show notes. Thanks a lot, Dr. Cartman. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. All right, we've got some emails with me, and Jamie's here too. Hi, Jamie. All right, guys, I love answering your questions. If you want one answered on the show, just go to sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or email feedback@sexwithemily.com. Whatever you do, just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to this show. Okay, Jamie, you want to read the questions?
Oh, but of course.
Okay, thank you.
This first one comes to us from Lisa, who is 25 in Spain. Hi, Dr. Emily. Every time I like a guy, I get attached very quickly, and if we have sex, I feel like I want to be in a relationship with him. I would like to know how to detach myself from those feelings that might be caused by the love hormones that are released during sex. This would save me from a lot of heartache because, unfortunately, the last guys that this happened with weren't looking to be in a relationship with me, and I fell in love despite the fact that I wanted it to just be casual. Basically, my question is how to have casual sex without getting too emotionally involved. I see a therapist once a week for different reasons and have mentioned this to her, but I'd love to get your insight on this. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for your questions. Very insightful, Lisa, because here's the thing. Let me just say this. Casual sex, casual relationships aren't for everybody. They're just presented as options for people who are, you know, not looking to invest their time and energy with one person. Maybe, you know, people in casual relationships are looking for a variety and they really want to focus on their own, you know, personal growth. But again, it's not for everybody. If a guy says to you, I'm not looking for a relationship, I'm dating a bunch of people, believe them, because you can't tell you how many people have spent time thinking, well, this person says, you know, I used to have got a lot of guys who would say this to me when I was in a period of not wanting to commit, and they would still stick around, say, thinking that they're going to change me. Guess what? No one ever did. Nothing changes unless we want to. So if you really do want a casual relationship, then my best advice is to give yourself limits, because when we get attached is, I mean, you're saying it was after once or twice having sex, but maybe we don't do sleepovers. You only see that person once a month or once a week. And so you just kind of, you don't talk about a lot of personal things. You don't invite them home to meet your parents or to meet your friends. You keep it casual. You don't keep talking to them about everything, because eventually our emotions get involved, then we got the physical stuff, and you're so right about those love hormones. So really, it's a matter, if you are going to stay casual with someone, putting in the boundaries yourself, because we can't always guarantee that our casual sex partners aren't going to be sending us mixed signals, like saying they don't want a relationship, but then sometimes acting like your boyfriend, and then sometimes pulling away. That's all just very confusing. So I love that you're in therapy, and I love that you're working on yourself, because truly, that is the first step towards really getting clearer on what kind of relationships work for us, among many other helpful tools in therapy. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Paul, who is 38 in Indiana. Hi, Dr. Emily. I met this girl at a singles event in the summer, and we've been talking a little over 6 months. We've gone out a few times just as friends, and I brought up the subject of dating about a couple months in to getting to know her. She just got out of a relationship and didn't want to date anyone. Since then, we have talked almost every day. I don't really want to mess anything up, but how do I get out of the friend zone? I feel like if I brought up dating again, I probably wouldn't get anywhere. Thank you.
All right, Paul, the old friend zone. Well, here's the thing. Once you're in the friend zone, it can be a challenge to get out, and I can certainly help you so it doesn't happen next time. But let me just say this. When people say, I don't want to bring it up again because then I'm going to lose the friendship, let's be honest. You weren't going into this wanting to be her friend. You could still say to her, hey, you know, I know I said this a few months ago, but I really still have feelings for you, and I'd like to see if this can go somewhere. And I'm interested in you in this way, and then see how it happens. So I wouldn't say that just because you brought it up 3 months ago doesn't mean that you can bring it up, that you shouldn't bring it up again. However, what happens is, and why so many people fall into the friend zone, is because what we do is we actually act as a friend before we, you know, we lead with the friendship part of it before we do with the creating the polarity and the sexual attraction. So for example, by helping her with her problems and being really available and, you know, doing all these, you know, friend things, it's like, of course, you know, a woman's really going to love that and it's going to feel really good, but then she stops seeing you as a sexual partner. So I think if you really like her, say, let's go out on a real date. I'd love to take you out. And then if she's not interested, believe her, move on. You got to do it, Paul. It just saves you time too.
It does. And I think the problem is that they're like, oh, I'm going to talk to her all the time and always be there for her and all of this stuff. But that's what girlfriends do for other girlfriends.
Right.
So then it does, you lose that thing. And like, if they're talking every day, it's like, no, distance yourself. Cause then that would maybe even the pulling back, she might be like, oh,
exactly.
He's getting a life.
Let her think about what you're contributing to her life. And so that's exactly it. So, you know, I just don't want him waiting around. He's 38, whatever age you are. Actually, we shouldn't wait around for anyone to decide they like us, right?
Right, because you could be waiting forever.
For freaking ever. You know, all my thoughts of friends that I've had, guy friends that were in the friend zone and would try to get out, it's like they never got out. And even times where I thought, I love this guy, we're such good friends, maybe I'll just hook up with him once. And no, they went back to the friend zone.
Yeah.
So, and some of them stay, some of them don't, and that's okay. So we'll see. But then we always hear stories of people who are best friends. Jamie. Well, no, you were hooking up with him. Her new boyfriend was a friend with benefits. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Anyone. Just take care of yourself, you guys. You can't control anyone else's behavior.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This next one comes to us from Chris, who's 39 in Canada. Dear Dr. Emily, I have a real big predicament. My girlfriend of 8 years never wants sex or anything. I do so much around the house and help out all the time, and I still can't get a reward. Now, my predicament is that my neighbor wants to have sex with me and says that we would never get caught because her husband doesn't show her affection. She says she needs to find someone to get off and that we could both help each other out. Ah, what do I do?
Oh, Chris, well, what you don't do is you don't go over to the neighbor's house and have sex with her. I can tell you that. This is not a good plan. I mean, no one's going to find out. It's your neighbor. That's not good. So listen, 8 years you've been together and she never wants sex. So, first off, I feel like, have you talked to her about why she is not interested in having sex? Because she can't just decide that she never wants sex after 8 years. And clearly the reason why you're even entertaining this neighbor scenario is because you're not getting your needs met. Now, I know you think that by contributing and doing housework might be something that gets her on board. And for many women, it will. Like, if her love language is acts of service, I know many women who'd be like, if my partner just cleaned up around the house, I'd want to have him sex, you know, I'd want to have sex all the time. So find out what her love language is. We've got a love language quiz on our website, because if doing housework, she might appreciate you, but doesn't mean she wants to have sex all the time. So find out what else she needs from you to feel desired and loved. You know, get curious with her, non-judgmental conversation, our sex, I miss it. You know, let's talk about like, what, why do you think we're not having sex? You know, is there something that's missing? And then you could talk about things that you desire, but you have to do it non-judgmental, outside the bedroom, make it like a super light conversation. And please don't hook up with the neighbor. If you feel you need to cheat, and this is how I feel, I think a lot of us have been there where we're like, well, I'll just cheat because I got to get off. Think about it. That is energy that you're putting towards someone else. It's going to create energy and drama, even if your partner doesn't find out. So what I recommend is take all that energy where you're pining for the neighbor and put that towards energy in the relationship where you can have a constructive conversation and a plan with your girlfriend to get your sex life back on track. If that doesn't work, then I recommend ending the relationship and then you can go have sex with anyone in the neighborhood or outside the neighborhood you'd like. Thanks, Chris. Rate us wherever you guys are listening. We love when you leave us a review. iTunes is awesome. Or just look down right now. Are you listening on Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud? What are the places? There's so many places. Just give us a lot of stars. However you do it. We appreciate you. And thanks to my awesome team. Love you all. Ken, Kristen, Lisa, Brian, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.